Howdy, folks, and welcome to the August 30th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I am the Creepy Kentuckian.
Booyaka, booyaka! I'm the Plan B, or B Plan.
Much to the dismay of a lot of the Dead Pit listeners, the B Plan is
back.
Yeah,
fuck you guys!
The way I look at it is, though, here's the thing. From the bottom of my heart, y'all know how I feel about Uncle Bill. He's eaten my ass over the course of the last 10-15 years on a regular basis. Thing is, you can't depend on him when it comes to doing the show. So, people bitch and say, I miss the old Dead Pit or whatever.
This is the new Dead Pit.
This is kind of the new Dead Pit. And if you're not down with it, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Like Ric Flair said,
when Uncle Bill...
Like it or don't like it, you got to learn to love it.
Right. Uncle Bill, whenever he finds his smile, he'll return.
That motherfucker ain't gonna find no smile.
He's like turning, you seen those new videos? He's like, I don't know what the fuck he's doing. He's playing guitar, playing Backstreet Boys songs on guitar and shit.
He's growing his beard out. I don't know. I think he's gonna join Duck Dynasty or something.
I don't know. Maybe that's the deal. Everybody's growing their beard out wanting to be like Creepy Kentuckian is what it is, I think.
We had
a few ideas for this week's show. I had talked to Nathan from Horror Hound about coming on, and, we talk to him pretty much every year on the show. But, I haven't really heard back from him, and this is going to be the last week we're doing a show until Horror Hound weekend. So we'll be talking about Horror Hound on this show. Help promote those guys. I like those guys, their shows. I think some of the best horror conventions, the best guests for a horror show out there. I mean, there's nobody that can compete with them, I don't think. Maybe Monster Mania. But Horror Hound, I mean, they pretty much, when it comes to the horror guests now, I mean, they're a force to be reckoned with, don't you think so, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, they put on some great shows in the past, so looking forward to going to this one.
Yeah, I mean, this one's going to be like, I look forward to Horror Hound because I see a lot of, friends and listeners of the show and stuff like that. But in a way, I kind of don't look forward to it because Robert Englund's going to be there, right? And this is the first time that he's been in the area.
And three people from Walking Dead, so we're talking.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be in the same room. Like, I think all the real big, and I'm not looking forward to the crowd. I know they're doing a queue, like a ticket queue similar to the Jamie Lee Curtis thing. I do know they're doing that, but I don't know how long, are they going to do it in intervals of 50 people or 100 people or whatever. You're still going to be waiting in line a while, and it's still going to be a fucking crowd. That's the only thing. And also, I don't really have a room booked yet. I think Uncle Bill is in charge of booking the room for Horror Hound, so we may or may not be there. I don't know. It depends on if he books it, but he said he would.
So if you don't get the room, you're not going?
Well, I always prefer to stay at the hotel where the convention is, right? That's my thing. That's just easier. It makes things easier. If you want to go relax at the room, they don't want to deal with the crowd, you can do that. I think the hotel for this particular Horror Hound was sold out in February or something like that. And the La Quinta, which is right beside of that hotel, was also sold out, for many months. So what are you doing, Steve? Are you just going to drive up and drive back?
Yeah, I think for that particular one, Dana's off Saturday, so we're going to head up Saturday morning, spend the majority of the day, and then come back later that evening.
Yeah, for you, it's probably 2 hours, 2.5 hours, something like that.
It's around 2-something, a little bit between 2 or 2.5. Not too bad.
Yeah, that ain't too bad at all. The thing is, though, is the guest list for this, of course, they got a couple more Walking Dead people, but it's kind of jabroni Walking Dead people, I would say, wouldn't you? I mean, it's not some of the big guests where people are like, holy shit,
Well, I mean, I think Glenn, the guy who plays Glenn, is a pretty big, a major character. But yeah, I mean, it's not got. I mean, I think it's not got like the guy. I don't think the guy that plays what's his face.
Shit, Dick.
Yeah, the main guy. He hasn't been at the convention yet, has he?
No, I don't. I
Rick
think he's
plays
a,
Rick.
Like he's a legit actor. Like I don't. I mean, hasn't he been in big movies and stuff like that?
I wouldn't even recognize him. I mean, is he American?
I have no idea.
It's hard to tell anymore because everybody out of the U.S. can do an American accent, and you can't tell they're not from here. But
I know.
But yeah, there's
like
not. I mean, I think the guy that plays Glenn is kind of a big character. People, the fans will probably want to meet him, but the other two probably not. I mean, if they'll go crazy over like the little girl who played a zombie, I think they'll probably go crazy over these. But who knows?
Yeah, they're doing, of course, we'll go through the guest list here. I mean, we might as well since we're going ahead and talking about it. Of course, Robert Englund's the first time he's ever done any show here, like in the, you know, central eastern U.S. that I've seen. They got him. They got the Walking Dead people, like you mentioned. Steve Miner, who I think that's the one I'm really looking forward to the most simply because this could be his only show. You know.
Which one is he? In the he's the big tall guy, right?
What do you mean?
I'm looking at the website now.
Oh yeah.
Cunningham on
Cunningham had the mustache and the cowboy hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, he's a producer on the original Friday the 13th and Last House on the Left, the director of Friday the 13th 2 and 3, director of Lake Placid, Halloween H2O. I think he did the Day of the Dead remake. I wonder if anybody's going to give him to sign that shit.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Jamie Kennedy from the Scream movies, he's going to be there. And they're doing something pretty cool with him too, even though it's kind of like, it's $50 or whatever it is, where you can sit with him on the couch and there's somebody in the Scream costume sneaking up behind you or whatever as a photo op. Have you heard about that?
No, I mean, I don't know if that's worth $50, but that's.
I think it's $50, maybe.
That's
I'm
better
wrong.
Than, that's better. I mean, that's interesting, at least.
Yep. One that you may be interested in, Steve.
Yeah.
Vivica A. Fox. I would have never guessed that she would do a convention, but maybe where she's just not done anything in such a long time, she's like, sure. I don't know. That would have been one that I wouldn't have think she'd done any convention, but.
Yeah, I mean, I might look at, I actually got that kind of, I was thinking I had a poster with her on it for, Kill Bill, but it doesn't look like it. Oh well.
So we got that. We got the Ginger Snaps girls. We've never seen them in the show either. Catherine Isabel and Emily Perkins. Emily Perkins also in the movie It as a kid. Danielle Harris, who seems to be at every fucking show we're at for some reason.
And your main man, Larry Drake.
Larry Drake. Yeah, I remember, I think you took video footage of me meeting Larry Drake at Fright Night a couple years ago.
Yeah, I did.
And I was trying to get him to do like a promo thing for the show, and he was like, I don't think I can do that. That would mean that I endorsed your show.
And you know Larry Drake's endorsement. that's pretty heavyweight right there.
It's the Drake endorsement.
It's the,
but also something they're doing at this show, Steve, which, man, I don't understand really because it's not like this movie. Like, there's not a big following for this movie. Freddy versus Jason, they're doing a reunion.
I still enjoy that movie. Now, would I like something a little different? Of course, but it was a decent movie. I know you said it was real fun in the theater and it wasn't much of anything after outside the theater,
right.
But I still think that's like almost a tie to the original series of both of them. And, you know, they both had remakes. So, I mean, that's the last tie to both of those original series.
I guess, but I mean, a lot of these other characters that they're bringing in for this. I mean, I could see Monica Keenan because she was, kind of like the leading lady in that movie. But everybody else, I mean, it's the point now where, like, I don't know. Do people really want to pay, like, you know, $20-25 to get the stoner guy to sign something?
I know you do.
No. Actually, Scott Farkas is going to be there. That's pretty cool.
If I had
Scott Farkas, the Farkas affair from The Christmas Story, he's going to be there.
Oh, I can't even see that. Where the fuck is that at?
Zach Ward. He was in Freddy vs. Jason as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's Scott Farkas.
Okay, that name threw me off, yeah.
Not a big Christmas Story fan, Steve.
I am. I mean, I knew he was in it, but I didn't realize his name, so I'm not you're much more of a, mark for that movie than I am.
Actually, like, I'm getting a code for, I'll probably regret it, for the sequel for Christmas Story.
Oh, God.
I haven't watched it yet, so I'll probably wait and watch it around Halloween time.
What about Barry Boswick from Rocky Horror Picture Show? That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, that is a pretty big deal. He's kind of like the leading actor in that movie, along with Susan Sarandon. Yeah.
He's Brad.
Garrett Graham, Bud the Chud, is going to be
Hell
there.
Yeah.
So, a huge lineup. I mean, we haven't even, like, we're just kind of starting. I mean, you got Robert Ressler, he's another one that seems to be at all these fucking shows. Steve Dash and Amy Steele from Friday the 13th, Part 2.
Woo, Shill and Finn from Twin Peaks.
That's true. There you go.
And Boxing Helena and Midian. I mean, I know it's one of my crushes.
Michael Parks from Red State and Grindhouse. You can add him to your Grindhouse poster, Steve.
I haven't got anybody to sign my Grindhouse poster.
Well, what's wrong with you, motherfucker?
I guess I was behind, but I do have a Dust to Dawn poster.
That's true. You can get Robert Kurtzman to sign that. He's going to be there.
Come on, say something, Linnea.
What?
Linnea, my dog just jumped up here.
Well, you tell her to fuck off. You're doing a dead bitch show, buddy. It's more important than petting on your dog.
Well, she jumped up here in my lap. Oh, my God. I didn't know the Crazy Babysitter Twins would be in there.
They're going to be there.
Holy shit. They were there at Fright Night a couple years ago, and they were super nice to I was sitting with Rick, and they came by. They were really super nice, so I might have to meet with them.
They're going
to
be in the new Machete Kills movie, evidently.
Yeah, Machete doesn't what the hell did he say he doesn't do? I know he doesn't text. I know he doesn't tweet. Did you see that?
He doesn't tweet, no.
He's up in a helicopter or something. Goes, Machete doesn't tweet. How about that?
Well, that's neat. he doesn't tweet. Yeah, but a lot more guests. If you want to know more about the show, go to horrorhoundweekend.com. And we've ran through a ton of people. And there's even more people. You know.
Yeah, like here. Megan Ward. She was, remember her from the Transfer movies and Dark Skies. So, I mean, I'd be interested to see how she looks. She was very pretty back in the day.
A lot of people from the Face Off series going to be there.
Like, I'm sorry. That's kind of cool, but really, I don't. What the hell?
I'm sure some people will care. Or else, why would they book any of these? Some of these people. I mean, you know, I don't know who a lot of these people are. But yeah. So there you go. Whorehound Weekend is next weekend, September 6th through the 8th in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Marriott Indianapolis East. And it's a shame we couldn't get Nathan on, but there you go. We're going to be there. I think we're going to be there for at least a day. I think that was the deal. We're going to spend one night and, you know, head out the next day. Yeah, it's going to be fun, and it'll be cool to finally. I mean, it's been like almost 10 years for us going to these shows. We've never met Robert Englund, so that's a cool one. Even though we'll probably be waiting all damn day, we're there that one day. So, other stuff going on, Steve. I guess something we should talk about is your new podcast, which is also debuting today on Dead Pit. It's going to be up on there on the main page.
It's dropping.
Yeah, so why don't you tell people about that real quick, and then we'll get into the show.
All right. Well, I mean, you're not gonna get a lot of stuff that you get here. It's just like my old show. If anybody ever listened to that, it was just mainly me. And of course now my beautiful wife Dana, we just gotta watch movies and talk about them a little bit. And that's basically about what it is. I mean, we watch all kinds of stuff. The last show we talked about The Conjuring, or the new show that's coming up. I'm going to go back and listen to the show, but we watched some old stuff and some new stuff. We watched We Are the Millers, which is a new one out in theaters. So,
oh, you actually went to the theaters and watched that?
Yeah. So,
really?
Yeah. So, it's just, I would just say it's not really, I don't know what to call it, but it's just basically just, like a, just kind of a peek into, a bunch of nerds watching a bunch of movies and talking about it a little bit.
Very cool. And it's called, what's the name of it?
We call it Two Against, and this particular show is called Two Against The Conjuring, because that's kind of the one movie that we talk about the most. So sometimes they'll have themes, you know, Two Against Euro Horror, or Two Against Hammer Movies, stuff like that, you know, some kind of themes like that, but just Two Against.
Well, Nate, that's a good concept, Steve. You can be creative sometimes.
I know. Hey, I come up with the Dead Pink Universe, so I'm pretty creative.
You seem to think you did. That's all I'll say.
Well, yeah, I'm sticking to it.
So, for the show this week, we're kind of changing things a little bit. You know, since it is convention season and all that, we want to ask the fans, what is your most memorable or worst convention moment? And there's many for me that I could say are memorable. There's many that I could say that were horrible. And we're probably talking about those as we're reading off from the Dead Pit Universe what you guys say is your least favorite or favorite, you know, of the conventions that you've been to, as far as like celebrities go and stuff like that, because ultimately that's why people go to these shows. They go to meet their favorite horror celebrity or artist or whatever, you know, director.
Yeah, I mean, that, and of course you got the vendors, which, you know, quality kind of goes up and down, but, you know, you got bootleggers, you got Synapsis, a lot of places, and, you know, Shout Factory at some other places. So, I mean, it's just a culture that, you know, once you get into it, it's really hard not to go.
That's true. And the thing is, too, is like a lot of people like bitch and moan about bootleggers or whatever else. And I'm fine with bootleggers as long as they bootleg something that was never out on DVD. Something, you know, like Lunch Meat, for instance. Something that was never, you know, released. I don't see what the issue is. You know, if whoever owns the rights to Lunch Meat, they don't, you know, nobody wants to release the official DVD of Lunch Meat.
Yeah, what's the deal? I mean, it's just like, it's on VHS.
I know. Yeah.
You got a VHS for me to buy? No. Well, then I'll go over here and buy a damn bootleg. So what's the big deal?
I don't get the hate there. What I don't understand is, you know, some of the stuff like that's already been released on DVD, that's a bootleg.
And they still do that. I mean, I was surprised of seeing a couple things that's been recently released, and then there it is. And it's like, didn't you know that that's released?
Right.
I don't know, but, you know. And also now you're seeing Blu-rays. So they got Blu-rays, and they're obviously bootleg because of I don't know. I haven't opened the cases, but the cases are bootleg cases, so I imagine the Blu-ray in there is
a
Blu-ray.
All kinds of ways to copy, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean that's already out there, dude. It's been out there for years, but of course, I mean, I'm not got enough money to all that stuff.
At one point in time, I'm sure they've, you know, the prices went downhill over the you know, last couple of years, but I remember the blank Blu-ray discs being like 10 or 15 bucks a piece.
Yeah, I mean, well, the burner is cheap now. I think the burner you can get under $100. As far as the blank discs, I'm not sure, but, I mean, you got the 25-gig discs and you got the 50-gig, so, you know, it all depends on what you're trying to burn. I mean,
yeah.
Or you could just rip them to your hard drive if you got a large hard drive, but, I mean, some of these movies are like 35 gigs or more. I mean, yeah. So it's, you know.
The burnt Blu-rays, I don't know about that shit. That's a little...
too much.
Yeah, that might be 2020 for me.
Yeah, when we're on... I mean, when everything goes digital, we pretty much got everything's covered on that end, but as far as physical media, that's a different story.
Yeah, but like I was saying, you know, there's good bootleggers and there's the assholes. And, you know, it just... The thing that I can't get about the bootleggers at horror conventions is, like, all of their fucking bootlegs are, like, 15 bucks or something. Like, they will not budge. Like, you know, do, like, a 3 for $30 or something. Go down a little bit. Holy shit. You know, that's one thing.
$10 to me is a good price point for a bootleg. I mean, I don't think it should be any more than that. Maybe $12.
Well, especially like the ones like, you know, I mean, you've seen them. Like, they print the cover out, and it looks like they print it on regular paper. It looks like the ink is going out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to charge a premium, you need to offer a premium, like, product. That's the way I look at it. But it is what it is.
It is. Exactly.
But anyway, the convention thing that we're talking about, let us know. We're going to read all the questions here in the next segment. And, you know, talk about some of your favorite moments, least favorite moments, favorite celebrities, assholes. You know, we'll talk about it all. And I'm sure me and Steve can give our opinion on some of these people you guys mentioned, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But in addition to that, we do have news and stuff as well, so... We can go ahead and dive right on into that, Steve. But we should probably take a break before we do that, right? Because this is kind of, when I do a show with you, we always do like a 20-minute just bullshit rant session. And then we get into the news, and then, you know, that's how we roll.
Yep. Roll. Go.
What?
Yeah.
Are you turning into Randy Savage there?
No.
For a second. Anyway, we'll be back here on
DeadPit.com.
I invite you guys to go to a little website called New World Video. Right, Uncle Bill?
Oh, my God. Don't even fucking start this shit on me. Don't do it.
What?
Don't even do it.
Well, you know their DVDs are awesome, though.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that. With such quality titles as Lunch Meat, the Star Wars Holiday Special, The Abomination, Halloween 6, The Producer's Cut, and Unmasked Part 25. I don't know how you could go wrong, really.
And the Friday the 13th Mega Disc. NewWorldVideo.info. Check it out right now.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio with your hosts, the B Plan and
the creepy Kentuckian Bulls.
Oh, I thought you were the creepy Marylander.
I'm the C to the Kiz A. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Word.
To your dog father.
So, yeah, the news, Steve. There's some decent things we can talk about on here, Steve.
Well, I know some really cool news.
Well, let's talk about it. What you got?
some hellacious Blu-ray announcements over the last couple of days.
Uh-oh.
So a couple big ones were Night of the Demons and Witchboard from Kevin Tinney. That's coming out early next year.
Scream Factory's coming out with those.
Yep, yep. So I mean, that's to see Night of the Demons in HD is going to be freaking awesome. Witchboard is great too, but I mean, of the two, I really love Night of the Demons.
Yeah, Night of the Demons is one of the best, like, 80s, just party horror movies. Probably the best when it comes to that genre. I love that fucking movie.
I mean, I like to watch that around Halloween, because they have, you know, and it's, doesn't it have the eat a bowl of fuck?
I'm here to party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hellord actually did a song called that, called Eat a Bowl of Fuck, I'm Here to Party.
Wow. I'd really like to hear that sometime. Maybe I can get a bootleg off of you.
Maybe we'll do a reunion.
Wow, a reunion tour?
Yeah, Hellord. We can do Hellord, Hell on Ice.
With ice skaters?
Yeah, we could like play music on a skating rink or something.
Want the pyro melt all the ice?
Hellord don't. They're too badass for pyro. They don't need that shit. But also the Witchboard, that movie's been out of print since the Anchor Bay release, like back in like 2001, 2002, right?
I got it.
Yeah, I got it too, but I mean, it's worth, I know the DVD's worth quite a bit of money because it's been out of print for so long.
Oh, well, maybe I need to sell mine.
Maybe you should.
Mmm.
But I had known that Night of the Demons, that was one that I knew they were working on a Blu-ray for it, but I didn't know who was doing it, which studio.
Is Felcher doing any, you know he's doing any extras?
Sure. Oh, I'm sure. Felcher loves that movie too.
Well, that's cool. Maybe get like that, what's her name, Kathy Caldwell or something, lead blonde in that.
I don't know what that girl's name is, but I mean, Kevin Tinney, I've talked to Kevin Tinney about the cast. He pretty much stays in contact with everybody from the cast, so they could, you know, if Felcher wants to, they could potentially do like a pretty badass documentary on the making of the movie.
Well, I know I listened to a little bit of the commentary, which I don't usually do for most movies, but it was pretty cool. I liked it a lot, and definitely wish it, hope sometime, maybe this leads to convention appearances later on next year.
You can see I've got my Night of the Demons poster signed, of course, by Amelia Kincaid and Kevin Tinney.
I've got one of them. I got Amelia. I don't have Kevin Tinney.
Amelia's crazier than shit, boys. I mean,
she seemed normal to me and Dana.
Boys, I'm not, no, Steve.
No?
There's something, I don't know, there's something bad wrong with that woman. That's all I'm gonna say. When I met her, because I've been around enough people with mental issues to know that there is something off with her. I don't know what happened or what. She could just be an airhead. But I don't know, man. I mean,
there goes our chances of interviewing her.
Oh, fuck, we're going to interview her anyway. We're going to ask her about the three fucking Night of the Demon movies that she did.
Well, I was talking to her a little bit.
How shitty that third one was?
Oh, yeah. She said that she didn't, she agreed that the third one was shitty. And it was a shame, too. When I rented that movie and I had the other two fresh in my mind, or, you know, and yeah. I bring it home and watch it, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And they had those morphine effects from...
Well, the thing is that movie was made in, what, like 97 or something like that, 98? I mean, it was made years later.
Yeah, many years. I mean, didn't the sequel come out in the early 90s? I don't know if it... Was it 94, maybe?
Maybe it was. Something
like that. And then this one came out a couple, you know, 97, like something like you say. I think I don't even know. It could have been.
I can't remember, but anyway, it
sucked when I got it.
Yeah, I remember I got it. Like, there's a Canadian DVD release of it, and I got that, and I was like excited because I'd never seen it before.
Is that before the internet? Because I would have looked online and saw that bunch of shit.
I didn't get
this.
I think I got it from one of those wholesale sites. So I wouldn't really think about it like that. I mean, it was just one of those, oh, fuck, you know, the Night of Demons. You know, I haven't seen this one. I got it for probably like $2 or something like that. But, yeah, you're right. Night of the Demons, the original was 88. The sequel was in 94. And the third one was in 97.
Mm. Wow, I got them right, boys.
Yeah, that's a rarity, Steve.
No, that's commonplace around my household. Me being right.
According to you. So, yeah.
But also, did you hear about the other two that's being released this year, I believe? From our boys at Code Red. Just Before Dawn and The Redeemer.
Well, that'd be cool. I'll definitely get The Redeemer because I've always wanted to see that, and the DVD goes for a shit ton of money.
I got the DVD. Well, I've always liked it. I got that. That's a high school class reunion massacre or whatever the hell it is. School reunion massacre. You know, that VHS. You actually sold the VHS to me.
I didn't.
Oh. Well, somebody did.
I think that was our good buddy Jason. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. He was trying to sell it to you, and I told you not to buy it or ask for a better deal or something, or something like that. But anyway, yeah. So I always saw that, that's a cool movie. And also, we forgot about. I don't know if we talked about. Synapsis releasing Curtains as well. So there's another.
I think a lot of these are coming out next year, though.
Yeah, but yeah, Curtains. Yeah.
Are coming out next year, actually.
Good, because I got money for all this.
Well, fuck. I mean,
Nailgun Massacre is coming out on Blu-ray.
I don't know. I don't know how Scream Factory keeps doing it, man. I mean, as far as you know, some of these companies, like it's cool. Synapse has a couple interesting releases every 3 or 4 months or something. It seems like, but Code Red. They have shit every fucking, like, new shit every damn week almost.
Well, I think that they, I mean, I don't know. I actually recently got the Unseen Blu-ray from Scorpion, so I want to look into that this weekend.
I can keep my DVD of that. That's one I don't really need to.
Well, I never had a physical copy of it.
Oh, okay.
So I thought I might as well go ahead and get it, and I got it for relatively cheaper than the going price. But, I'm looking. I want to see the quality of it before, you know, and I can kind of gauge the quality of something else, like, Nailgun Massacre and some of the other ones, like Redeemer and stuff like that on Blu-ray from Code Red. You never know what you're going to get with independent companies.
It's true. It's like a box of chocolates.
I mean, I know with Synapsis, you're going to get the best available.
Yeah, you never really know with, like, that's the scary thing about a Code Red Blu-ray. Like, really? I mean, you're kind of like, I don't know. You don't know what you're going to get, like you were saying.
I mean, I mean, some of the DVDs. If it's a movie, I mean, they did do a good movie called, I forgot what the original title, I think it was called The Mad Bomber, and it was retitled like The Police something, Police Connection or whatever it is, something stupid. But, I seen like a VHS of it, and then they released it widescreen and uncut, and it looked really good. So they, you know, whoever they're dealing with, I guess it depends on the elements, but, I mean, that was a decent looking DVD from those guys. So I have hopes for them. They do release some of the really obscure stuff that I like. And, depending on what it is and stuff like that, I'll definitely get it if I think about it. Of course, I'm always on the lookout. Actually, speaking of something out of print, I did hear somewhere that they're releasing Nightmare in a Damaged Brain on Blu-ray.
Well, that's what I was going to mention because I had the displeasure, I guess, of watching the DVD version.
Really?
I'm sorry, man. The quality, like, for one thing, that movie, I couldn't get into the movie at all.
I don't know. You're shocking me here.
Listen. The other thing, that looked like shit. That transfer was fucking horrible.
Which disc did you watch?
I watched the Code Red, Nightmare in a Damaged Brain.
Okay, but there's two discs and two versions of the movie, so which disc did you watch?
I was at Aaron's. I don't know.
Disc 2 is the one, is the version to watch. I don't know why the better version is on disc 2, but as from my understanding, at least for me, I watched the one on disc 2, and that is the, it's not going to look like a brand new movie, but I thought it was a decent transfer for that type of movie.
The one that I saw had, it was almost like you're watching the actual old film print, because there were specs and shit all throughout the movie. Like, I mean, it was noticeable.
Well, I haven't watched it in a while, but I say, you know, I you can't change your mind about what you think about the movie itself. But as far as the transfer, I think I'll have to go back and watch it again. But I think that the part two, the disc two version is it looks pretty decent.
So anyway, a lot of stuff coming out.
Yes.
I actually did purchase, you know, some stuff from Code Red, and I'm excited because, as it turns out, Steve, I got the last sealed copy of Madman that they had. They are now sold out.
Oh.
So I'm planning on hanging on to that until I can get top dollar for it, motherfucker.
I see.
And I also got Night of the Demon.
I got
a couple copies of those to sell.
That's awesome.
And Curse of the Blue Lights and Evil Speak, which I'm debating whether or not I should open those or not. But
well, I don't understand why they. I mean, there was a release from Anchor Bay of Evil Speak. I know it's probably out of print, but
yeah, it was worth quite a bit of money too at one time.
Yeah, I mean, I had like a copy of it, but I never watched it.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good, but. Yeah, I purchased a couple things, mainly to resell, just because, like, Code Red stuff, you can say what you want to, but it's in such limited release that all this shit's worth a fuck ton of money. Like, if somebody bought multiple copies of Nightmare and Damaged Brain and still, you know, never opened them, they could sell them fucking things for like $100 now, probably, or more.
Well, there was that last convention that me and Dana went, they had one for sale. I think it was at Wasteland. They had one for sale for $90.
Yeah.
I was like, are you effing kidding me?
No, but, I mean, I'm sure it'd probably go for that much on eBay or maybe more.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, the movie, I as far as the movie itself, of course, it's not the best movie ever made, but it's, I enjoy it for what it is, being a sleazy type of ridiculous movie.
You like a lot of weird shit though, Steve, let's be honest.
Let's get real.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real. Yes, I do.
If I can be serious for a minute.
Okay, Lance Storm.
So, yes. Anyway, let's continue on. The Wicker Man, Steve, you heard about this?
I heard that they found a uncut print, which, honestly, I didn't know that there was an uncut. I didn't know there was a cut version other than what was playing on, you know, television. So I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah, for the past few decades, it's been only seen in mutilated copies. The new Studio Canal restoration is the culmination of a long search conducted via Facebook for a complete director's cut. This year marks the 40th anniversary of the cult classic, and Rialto, I guess that's a cinema, we'll roll out the restored version beginning in on September the 27th at the IFC Center in New York City.
Ooh.
With runs also in Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, and other cities throughout this fall. So, yeah, you can probably see it in the theater in big cities, and I'm sure eventually you'll see it on Blu-ray. Now, the original Wicker Man has yet to see any type of Blu-ray release at all. And, yeah, so that'll be cool. I mean, I really like The Wicker Man, but if they do a Blu-ray release of it, I hope that they release both versions together, the theatrical cut and the director's cut.
I hope they do like have an extra with the Nicolas Cage version on it. as an extra.
Really?
Yeah, dude. That's,
or you can just buy the Blu-ray used for like $2.
Yeah, that shit's awesome, dude. That's funny as hell.
So.
Not the bees.
Nicolas Cage, is there a movie that Nicolas Cage won't do? I mean, I see him in fucking everything.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's ever going to regain his senses, if he ever had any, because I was watching that video a while back of him being really drunk and going into a tattoo shop, and then watching him and his wife or whoever. It was pretty funny stuff.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah. Nick Cage.
That's pretty cool though about The Wicker Man. I mean, as long as they release both versions, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I only saw that movie it was actually on TV. It was on A&E a lot and stuff like that back in the Disney. And of course the Anchor Bay released the big wood box edition, which I have, and I know you do too, probably.
Right. That's a limited edition. Kind of a risky thing because it's wood, you know?
Yeah. I've been lucky. I mean, I've had it for over 10 plus years, and it's still together, and no water damage, whatever. No termites.
True. Although, wouldn't it be funny if termites did get to that box or something somehow? That'd be fucking hilarious. Somebody take a photo of that shit.
It'd be awful. Need to seal that bitch up.
Yeah, for a little while there, I was trying to like collect like limited edition Anchor Bay stuff, but sealed versions. Mm-hmm. That shit's hard to find.
You know,
people loved Anchor Bay so damn much, they ain't gonna fucking just sit around and not open shit. The best items that I got for that sort of thing is a couple of sealed tins that they released of Let Sleeping Corpses Lie and The Beyond.
Yeah, I think The Beyond is the... I saw that and I didn't get it. I actually got the DVD of Let Corpses Die, the standard DVD, because, you know, I didn't know any better. But I got the 10 of Evil Dead 2 and then The Beyond. Of course, they're open because I couldn't stand that. I had to watch those.
You had to watch those.
Yeah.
So, any other news that you've got over there, Steve?
No.
There's a few things we could mention, I guess. Vincent Price Collection, which Scream Factory's coming out with on October 22nd.
Yes.
They have announced a lot of special features and stuff on each disc. Now, this is a total of, I think, 6 different movies.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like $80 too, man. I mean, that's...
Well, I've seen 59.
Oh, really? I know it's like retailed for right at about $80.
I mean, I can't. Trust me, I want it. But I mean, still again, look at that's a good deal for 6 movies for about around $60. $5 a movie.
Right.
Or no, well, $12 a movie or something.
I almost
think
it'd be better though if they just released them individually, you know? But.
Yeah. I mean, I think that maybe they'll do that later on. But I mean, I don't know. And then of course that, I'm waiting for that House of Wax to go down because
going down.
Well, Steve-O ain't. I might rent it if it's available over at the Big Wild and Woolly, but I ain't purchasing that for no $35.
But anyway, the Vincent Price Collection, I said, comes out on October 22nd. Features Fall of the House of Usher and the extras on this one. Vintage and Rare Introduction and Final Words from Vincent Price. This is his final words.
Wow.
Audio commentary with Roger Corman. Vincent Price retrospective commentary with author Lucy Chase Williams featuring Peter Michael as the voice of Vincent Price. What in the fuck is this? Like, really?
I don't know. Probably her middle name's Chasen?
Chase. Lucy
something.
Chase.
All right.
Audio interview with Vincent Price. By historian David Duvall.
Yeah,
I'm curious what this Vincent Price stuff is. Like, is this actual interview, or is this with that fucking guy?
Well, that David Duvall, I'm friends with him on Facebook. He's big into, you know, the old Hollywood movies, and especially old horror movies with Corman and all these other guys. He had there's a whole, like, almost DVD of a show he did with him called The Sinister Image, which I just watched a few minutes of it. I didn't watch it all. But so, I mean, if that's on there, that's a good hour or so of an interview with him from, I guess, the mid-'80s.
Also, though, like, you got theatrical trailers and Steel Gallery on all these discs. The Haunted Palace, which I think this is one that I haven't seen this movie. This was a Vince Prospect.
I've seen them, but I mean, it's hard to tell. They all kind of blend together after a while, Poe movies with Corman.
Right. Vintage and Rare Introduction and Final Words from Vincent Price, and that's also on all these too. We'll have to wait and see what this shit is, I guess. Audio commentary, again, with Lucy Chase Williams of The Complete Films of Vincent Price. That's, a book she did. And Richard Heft, an audio commentary by author Tom Weaver. A Change of Poe, an interview with the director Roger Corman. Mask of the Red Death, some of the extras on that include the introduction, like we were saying, audio commentary by Steve Halberman of Silent Screams, the history of silent horror films.
Oh.
And interview with Roger Corman again on that. The Apple Trailer Steel Gallery. Pit in the Pendulum, which I love that movie.
Dead Pit in the Pendulum.
You know, all of the same stuff. You got audio commentary with Corman on here, the introduction from Vincent Price, a rare prologue. Witchfinder General.
Yeah.
Introduction from Price audio commentary with Philip Waterlove. Ian Ogilvy. You know, a lot of interviews, vintage stuff. It says here, vintage interview with Vincent Price conducted by historian David Duvall. 1987 is the year that was, and he passed away, 90 or 91, something like that?
Pretty much after, it was really close after Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, I know Edward Scissorhands, his last movie.
So probably 90, 91.
Yeah. The Abominable Dr. Phoebes, audio commentary with Robert Fust. Audio commentary with author Justin Humphreys. Introductory Price undertaking the Vincent Price Gothic Horrors. So this is going to be a huge, I mean, each one of these have a decent amount of extras on there. And I know our good buddy Joel Robinson has actually done the artwork for this. So yeah, when I ever do get the set, I'll definitely take it. And, you know, that way I can get somebody's signature on it. They can think it's Vincent Price, but it's Joel Robinson. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Try to sell Vincent Price autographed Blu-ray.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Couple other things on here, and then we'll kick it to a break and answer some of your fan questions or comments or whatever on favorite, least favorite horror celebrity at conventions.
Go for it.
Have you seen this on Fright Rags?
No. What?
They have. I'm kind of torn because of who did the artwork.
No, is it your buddy?
Yeah, it is. But it looks fucking cool as shit. I mean, I wish to God Anchor Bay had gotten something similar to this for the 35th anniversary edition that's coming out. Pre-orders for these, they're Halloween 4 posters, t-shirts. There's actually a box set as well, like Fright Rags are doing, of these, you know, the first time they've ever offered any Halloween-related merchandise on Fright Rags. And these things look really freaking cool. I want to tell you, like, the artwork on all these, I really think they've done a great job. Anybody wants to check it out, you can go to fright-rags.com and check it out. I'm seriously considering getting one of those limited edition sets that comes with, you know, your t-shirt and poster and a bunch of other goodies. So it's cool, man. It's cool.
I don't see him, dude.
Go to, let me link it. I'll link it up to you. You still on Facebook?
Yeah. I'm on Fright Rags.
Maybe it's, I mean, I just got the email. Maybe it's not on there, but I sent you a link to it. You can check it out.
Oh, yeah.
I think the artwork's pretty awesome. And being a huge Halloween fan, too, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool. I'm not sure. Honestly, I don't wear a lot of horror shirts unless, you know.
You don't like the black shirts, huh?
Well, I mean, I got a Nail Gun Massacre shirt from them, I think. It was pretty cool. But I don't know, something about this, I don't know. Nail Gun Massacre is kind of crazy humorous, but I don't know. They're cool looking.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, a lot of the Fright Rag shirts I'm not huge on just because I think there's too much going on them. But this one's pretty neat, I got to say. I think it's...
You going to give me the Judith Myers headstone magnet?
No, that one's mine. It stays with me.
What about a rabbit in the red replica matchbook memo pad?
I don't get that. Why didn't they do the rabbit and red replica matchbook? Why didn't they just do the matchbook? What does a memo pad got to do with any damn thing?
What's the max pad got to do with it?
I think you've been drinking something, Steve.
No, I'm straight as an arrow.
It comes in a collector's box, though, too. I don't know. In a way, I'm like, I want it, but, again, I'm buying more shit I don't really need at the end of the day. But it is a cool-looking shirt.
Yeah.
And poster. I like the poster, too. But anyway, I think that is it, Steve. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get to your fan questions, and that is going to be it for the show. We'll talk about, you know, what we're doing over the next couple of weeks, because we do have back-to-back weekend conventions to go to.
Can I give a shout-out to one of my homeboys?
Depending on who it is.
It's 2 Chainz, my boy 2 Chainz.
Oh, okay. Hey, 2 Chainz, what's going on, mofo?
Yeah. He's a rapper.
2 Chainz. Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw him, and I've been hearing about him like every fucking day for the last 3 days. I've heard about 2 Chainz, and I have no clue who he is. He just came on TV in some kind of damn commercial. And
like the internet is like, yeah, there's a lot of shit like you'd never hear about or anything if it wasn't for the internet. Like the whole bullshit Miley Cyrus thing. Like I would have never known nothing about that had it not been all over
Facebook. No, because I wasn't going to watch that. MTV is just dead to me, so.
Yeah, I would have never known about that shit, but yeah. Anyway.
I'm sticking my tongue out like with Miley Cyrus. You know what twerking is?
I do now.
I think everybody knows now because
I had no clue what in the fuck it was before. I'm not going to lie.
Machete doesn't twerk.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to kick it to another break. When we come back, we're going to read your fan questions and stuff.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Yeah,
deadbeat.com.
Why?
On a June night in 1980, Friday the 13th, 12 counselors at Camp Crystal Lake were murdered. Why should Friday the 13th, 1981 be any different? The terror continues. Friday the 13th, Part 2, from Paramount Pictures, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Hi, this is Tom Savini, and you're listening to DeadBit.com. Aren't you lucky?
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio with your host, the B-Plan, with the C to the KZ.
Woo! What's up? Rack shitty bitch, rack shitty bitch.
I'm over here twerking like a motherfucker.
What was that?
You don't know what twerking is?
Yeah. We need a little twerk after work, if you will.
Yeah.
So this section of the show, pretty much throughout the rest of the show, since we've got two conventions upon us over the next couple weekends, Steve. It's going to be insane. Going to be our last, actually going to be my first and last shows of the year. I've been taking a little break from these fucking horror conventions because they're so, most of them are so goddamn ridiculous now. Like, Sylvester Stallone.
I heard that.
Charging $450.
Hey, yo, give me some money.
Really, boy? I mean, fucking really. Okay, the only way I would totally buy that is if Sylvester Stallone was donating the money to a charity or something, which I don't know if he's doing or not, but...
Hey, yeah. Yo!
Take my photo and shit.
Hey, yo, give me some money, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
You know how I read somebody else saying, well, you know, calling Bruce Willis greedy is kind of crazy after charging $400 for autographs.
I don't know. Really, like, I consider myself a pretty big fan of Stallone, but never in a million fucking years would I even pay like $200 to get his autograph and a photo or anything like that. That's
this
just
shit's
stupid.
Just out of hand with fucking... No one's autograph is worth $100.
Right. Well, the thing I look at, the way I look at it too is, you know, and you got agents and celebrities going, oh, well, you don't have to pay it, you know, you don't have to, you know. But the bottom line is those motherfuckers didn't have to bring those guys in there either, you know. I think a lot of the times, like with Gene Simmons, which he was charging like $100 or whatever, it's not that he was charging $100, it was that the convention that brought him in to pay for his appearance fee had to charge people that much money to be able to possibly pay him back. And this is probably the same thing, the same thing's happening with Stallone, too, I'm sure.
Well, did you see, I saw on the internet, someone got some kind of receipt from where Norman Reedus was taking his photo op up in some place in Canada, and only, I don't know how long this session was, but it was like about over a hundred people, and it was almost $7,000 that they, as profits they got for just that one session for a few hours.
Probably not even a few hours if it was a photo.
Yeah, so thing. I mean, maybe 2 hours, I would think, if maybe even less. But
right. Well, I think
that's crazy.
I think honestly, like, and the way I look at it too is, you know, we pay taxes. We, you know, any place you're employed, a lot of that money goes back towards taxes, towards you know, your Social Security, state tax, city tax, federal tax. You know, you're paying, you're working, you're paying those taxes. I think it's bullshit that the city and the state and all that hasn't got involved charging tax on these motherfuckers. I hope it happens. I won't be honest. Because when that shit happens is when shit's going to fucking slam down. That shit's going to go down then. But you know why? You know why I hope it happens? Because these people get greedier and greedier and they want more and more money. So you're making $7,000 for 2 fucking hours. You should be taxed on that shit. So I hope that at least happens. So.
I mean, I like the Boondock Saints.
I
would agree. And then, I mean, but this, just the constant milking of that. And then it's just, in those photo ops, this kind of makes me sour towards the whole thing.
I know.
I just don't understand. It's just, I don't know.
When I've heard people that are fans of The Walking Dead, not that I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead. I don't really watch the show, to be honest. But people that are fans of The Walking Dead are sick of Walking Dead people at conventions. Like, I've heard it all the time, you know. So we'll see. I mean, like I was saying, it's getting more and more ridiculous price-wise for these people. Like, you know, Stallone is a huge star. There's no doubt about it. But
why is he even doing that?
I think, like, like I was saying before, it's not that these people are just starting to do shows. It's that these conventions are contacting them, getting there, and ultimately probably all these celebrities have appearance fees. Now, they'll do appearance fees. So they're thinking, oh, we'll get them for a show for a day. But to pay this, you know, $250,000 appearance fee, we're going to have to charge these fans $600 an autograph. Well, we can do it.
But I just don't see, if someone gave me $5 million and then said, well, you can go make $50,000 or something like that for working a charity. And I go, like, fuck you, I ain't doing nothing. I don't understand how these people are so greedy just for nothing that matches to what they have in the bank. I just don't get it. And they could say it's to meet the fans, but really, if it was, you would either not charge or you would donate the money to charity. At least, you know, people may get on Jamie Lee Curtis, but, you know, I think that, you know, at least she put her, you know, put that to the test, and she donated that shit to some hospital, even though it wasn't in
Indianapolis, honestly,
which would have been nice to donate a portion to something other than
Stallone.
That
Stallone could be doing the same thing. I just don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, if he was, that's just that amount really is ridiculous.
I know.
Even if he was doing it, it's still ridiculous.
The only thing I can think of maybe is if it's one of those deals where I'll be signing for 2 hours at a show, and they're pre-selling those tickets, and they say, oh, he can sign 100 autographs in 2 hours, you know. So maybe they're selling a limited 100 autographs or something. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but it is ridiculous, I'll say that. So anyway, since we kicked that off, this section off to a good start, you know, good banter back and forth.
I'm upset now.
We got a lot of stories on here to talk about over this next probably hour or so about what the Dead Pit Universe here on Facebook. You can check us out. Just search for Dead Pit Universe. We're getting, I think we're over 1,500 likes over there. We need to get way more, boys, really. Seriously.
Yeah, we need to get thousands of likes.
Yeah, we need to get at least 2,000 by the end of the year. Let's try to do that. I think we can do that.
Or no more Dead Pit shows.
Yeah. Good idea. Tell all your people about that. There you go. You know, best / worst convention experience with a horror celebrity, if you will, or a celebrity of any sort.
Yeah. So
we're going to go through those in a minute. But first, we're going to talk about best / worst experiences that we've had. Because me and Steve, we've been doing shows, you know, going to conventions for many years. I started going to them back in like almost 10 years ago. And, Steve, what was the first like horror convention thing that you attended? How long ago was that?
Was that first time I met you guys at Fright Night, with, Kevin Tenney was there. I can't remember. Was it 2007 or?
I think it was 2007. Yeah, that was the,
and I went for that double feature. I didn't really meet anybody cause I was a little overwhelmed, and I bought a weekend ticket, but I didn't go back Saturday or Sunday. So I just kind of went there. I went to your guys' double feature and didn't know anybody. So I just kind of left after that.
Yeah. So yeah, you've been going to shows for quite a while too. Honestly, like, it's funny that you mentioned that because Kevin Tenney, that would probably be one of my top favorite people that I don't know if we could, if you'd say we'd met him at a show, but that whole weekend, Kevin Tenney kind of just hung out with us, and that was just really cool, you know?
Yeah. I wish I knew you guys a little better. Cause I, you know, once I came back and listened to the show about you being there and stuff, and you said Kevin Tenney was there, I was really upset that I didn't know that and didn't go back and meet him and get at least my DVD signed.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, we eat breakfast and dinner with him that day, the day he was there. And, you know, he hang out at the Dead Pit booth. That was cool as hell, you know, but, and Kevin Tenney's weird. I mean, it's weird cause he's kind of like, you know, when we were hanging out with him, he was kind of like a, almost like a fatherly figure towards Dead Pit, you know? I mean, you didn't really see him as, you know, Kevin Tenney, director of all these horror movies, you know, that we loved when we were growing up. But, you know, he's just a, Kevin Tenney's always a, not a celebrity type at any, you know, he doesn't really have that, ego like a lot of these people do at these shows, which is cool. So,
yeah, I mean,
he would probably be my favorite if, you know, if we're talking best slash worst experiences with a celebrity. Now, I would consider him a horror celebrity, even though, you know, he probably wouldn't consider himself.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy, well, though. He's a good guy.
I guess I could couple. I mean, I have recently had a good experience meeting Don Costarelli. He was super nice to both me and Dana.
You telling me you should do the interview with Dead Pit and quit being a douche?
Unfortunately, I didn't think of that because I was in the moment. Sorry.
You're always in the moment, not supporting Dead Pit when it matters.
Oh, yeah. I'm like Hulk Hogan in TNA.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, he was great. Linnea was great. She was really sweet. I mean, there's been some decent ones. There's been some. I think that those two kind of pop in my head real quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, I had Danny Steinman was kind of a fun when I met him at Wasteland.
He was a little different when you met him at Fright Night, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm afraid that was a little. But you know, I bought him a beer, I think, or something, a drink or something. I think so because
he was trying to wine him, dine him, 69 him. What you were trying to do?
No. Just the whining. But those were cool. I mean, hell, John Dugan was drunk and hanging off me, and somebody's trying to tell him I was from live in Louisville, and he couldn't hardly hear. So, but I mean, those are the ones I kind of remember. Katrina McCall is a good. She was nice, super nice.
Oh yeah, she's cool.
And
who's your favorite though? If you have like one favorite that was like, oh, that's the coolest person I ever met.
Coolest. Coolest.
There's got to be one that sticks out. It's like, that was an awesome experience.
Damn.
Dead air, Steve.
I know. You'll cut that out, right?
No. I don't edit anything out anymore.
Oh, you're lazy. Shoot. I don't know. I can't remember. It's been, unfortunately, I had to look. I can't really say, Brick Stevens was awesome.
Brinky?
Yeah, she was only doing $10, which,
well,
you know,
that's pretty much what she should be charging.
Oh, well. I mean, she's very nice.
I'm not saying people need to be more like her, boys. That's what
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's not trying. I mean, she's out there. I believe her. She's out there to meet her fans, and that's. I mean,
and make some money.
I don't believe, huh?
And make money.
Well, yeah, but still,
somebody like Brink Stevens. Let's be honest, man. She's not going to get away with charging $20 an autograph. I don't think.
I mean, when some retard off of Walking Dead's charging it.
Well, there's a lot of retards that are watching The Walking Dead that'll probably pay it too, I guess. Well, I don't know.
But anyway, I guess Don Costarelli would be, because I can't remember some of the early ones because I party too much. But Don Costarelli was really super nice to everyone I saw. He was, I mean, this one kid, younger guy, was in a wheelchair and he actually knew his name and he had gave him like a burnt DVD of something. So obviously they knew each other. It was just, I just saw, him being super nice to everybody. Jordan Ladd was super nice to me. I just people like that, it seemed like they're there. I mean, of course they're making money, but they're a little bit more, outgoing with people and really appreciate people who are their fans. Like, you know, Don Costarelli, he had, you know, John Dies at the End is his, you know, recent movie, but, you know, he knew that most people love Phantasm. So he talked about Phantasm with pretty much everybody that came up. So I think he's one of the better experiences that I've had.
That's cool. And going over to the other side, you know, which is always fun because, you know, you run into these jackasses every once in a while. Not too often. You know, most everybody there realizes at these shows, these fans that come up to you, they're dropping tons of money just to be able to meet you and talk to you for a couple of minutes, you know. So most of the time, you know, people that are listening, if you're kind of hesitant about going to a show, I wouldn't be, you know, because most of the time, 9 times out of 10, these people are going to be really friendly with you. They're going to be kind and they're going to want to answer your questions and stuff like that. I mean, they're going to want to. You're not going to run into too many people like this. But doing these shows for so many years, we've got stories. And a lot of people, for some reason, I think I did answer this on Facebook, but I want to answer it on the show again. They wanted to know the whole story about Tom Atkins, because I've heard people say that Tom Atkins is the coolest guy, you know, but I've heard other people say that he's a dickhead. Okay, it's kind of a mixed bag with him. I'm never going to go up to him again to find out what I'll get next time, like some people. I know Crater did that, which I don't know why, and had a better experience the second time. But I just don't give that big of a shit, to be honest. So the Tom Atkins thing with me, I think it was Scarefest 2010. It was one of the better Scarefests they ever had with, that was the one George Romero was at. I think this one was in like November. They did this Scarefest in like November. And honestly, like I hadn't planned on getting anything signed by Tom Atkins at all, you know. But I was talking to John Amplis, and John Amplis gave me a signed Creepshow poster for free. It was like one of those 11 by 17 deals. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, Tom Atkins is right over there. You know, I could get him to sign it too and maybe talk to him about doing an interview with us for Dead Pit. Because we still never had Tom Atkins on, of course. So, and I think a couple months before that, Uncle Bill and Jess had both met Tom Atkins and had good experience with him, you know, and said he was really, really a cool guy. So actually it was me, Jess, and Uncle Bill all went up there, but I was going to get my shit signed and maybe talk. You know, I had a Dead Pit card and I was like, you know, going to talk to him about doing the show. And I could pretty much tell as soon as I got any sort of response from him, he was in a bad fucking mood. He was in a foul mood. He was flat out rude, man. I mean, I was like, you know, we'd love to have you on, do the show and, you know, talk about some of your films and stuff. Cause we're all big fans, you know, of your work and all that over the years, you know, and he, kind of had a chip on his shoulder, seemed like, the whole time, and was like, maybe I'll do your show and maybe I won't. Who's to say? You know, exactly like that, you know. And just his demeanor, like the whole time I was talking to him, and I was like, well, could I maybe get you to sign this poster for me? And he goes, I will sign it, but it's $20. You know, just totally. And I was like kind of shocked how big of a dickhead he was being, because I'd never really heard this before. I'd heard a couple of people say that he wasn't the friendliest guy, but he was being a flat out jerk, you know, and I'll tell this to anybody. And I know Felcher loves him, and I've talked to other people that love him, but he was a flat out asshole, you know, the whole time. And I'd heard something later on that he had just been dropped that day by his manager, and maybe that was why he was kind of, and ultimately I didn't give a shit why he was being an asshole, but he was totally being a dickhead. But ultimately I think it was the next day he came up to, the Dead Pit booth, and I was the only one there at the time, Steve, the Dead Pit booth. And, he comes up and he's acting a little more friendly this time. And he comes up and says, well, I was wondering why you guys don't bring your equipment to do interviews here at these conventions and stuff. And I was still pissed off at him, you know. And I just gave him like a real quick answer and just looked at him. I was like, because we don't feel like it. We don't feel like bringing equipment to do these interviews, you know. And he just kind of quickly left after that. So that was kind of the Tom Atkins story in a nutshell. He was kind of a douche. And I've got other, but that's kind of the big one that I always talk about on the show, you know. What about you, Steve? Worst experience, and we'll go on with these questions here.
I guess my work, I got a few bad experiences. I'll start, list, I think three. The two that I can remember, one was Chris Sarandon. He was more concerned talking to the pretty assistant of his than talking to me, who was getting my poster signed. I've heard similar stories, so not big fan of him.
Yeah, but, I've heard a lot of stories about Chris Sarandon being a dickhead.
Yeah. And then the worst one, of course, to me, was Linda Blair, who never had any interaction with me at all except just looking up at me. I had more interaction with her handler. I got two posters signed by her, and she never paid attention to me one time. If you're talking about your damn dogs or whatever, she would be very interactive. But, I mean, it's just really pissed me off right now that I keep thinking about it. And I know everybody else. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but if you're going to be that kind of asshole, I wouldn't book her for a convention if I was somebody doing conventions, because she's just not – she's got her own agenda, which is fine, but if you're not going to be interactive with people, then, I mean, what's the, you know, just sign some fucking tissue papers and we'll sell those for a dollar, you know?
Yeah, I know. If you look at Linda, and we'll be talking about Linda Blair a couple of times at least on here, because I've already read some of this stuff.
Yeah.
At her booth, man, she's got like, a lot of her 8x10s are like of her and dogs.
Yeah.
Like, really, like somebody's gonna spend $40 and get fucking her and Toto or something in a photo. It doesn't make any. I don't get that. But I always find, and I know I might piss some people off, but the crazy animal people, like, they are really fucking nuts. Like, I'm talking about, you know. You cannot be an animal lover and eat a steak. Those kind of people. If you're a real animal lover, you're a vegan. You're a vegetarian. You know, and she's one of those people. So.
Fuck her.
Yeah. Honestly, Linda Blair to us wasn't, I didn't think she was that bad. I want to be honest. But I know a lot of other people do think she's bad. We'll talk about that too. Let's go ahead and get into these, Steve, because we've got like 30 some odd ones on here.
Go for it.
James, our buddy James Early.
No relation. Early in the morning.
No relation to James Late.
Yeah.
Some of the best experiences I've had would be Romero and Carpenter. Both were really nice to me. First time I met Bill Moseley, he offered me and my friend cookies. Well, that's good. Aww. Bill Moses is cool. William Forsythe telling stories about Sean Connery calling people pussies and nearly get into a fight while he was making The Rock. And every time I've gotten drunk with John Dugan stays drunk. if you're with John Dugan and you're drinking, you're drunk with him.
You better believe it.
I honestly have had more good times than bad with celebrities. That's what we were saying.
Yeah.
So. What else you got over there, Steve?
Oh, I'm supposed to be looking at them.
Oh, you want me to read them all? You lazy motherfucker.
I'm sorry, dude.
Call me lazy. I can go ahead and read another one if you want to. James actually has his worst ones on here. I can talk about those.
Yeah, go for it.
The worst ones for me would be Linda Blair and Lou Ferrigno. Ferrigno wanted to charge $50 for a photo with him, with your own camera, or his 1970s looking Polaroid he had set up. That's even if you purchase an autograph. Yeah. Seems like, wasn't that at Wonderfest or something like that?
What's that?
When he was trying to charge that much, Lou Ferrigno.
Oh yeah. And I was like, I actually had something to get signed, the best of, the best of the Hulk. And then I was like, nah, forget it.
Yeah. I did hear a lot of stories about Lou Ferrigno. But he's talking about his Linda Blair experience on here too. And this is one that a lot of people, I think he called into the show right after this. And a lot of people talk about his experience with her. This was at the Fright Night show, I think in 2010, maybe, or 2011.
Yeah.
Said that, she made them wait for a good 10 to 12 minutes before signing his Savage Street poster. And he's not talking about waiting in line for her. He's talking about standing right in front of her. Taking that much time to actually acknowledge their existence.
Yeah.
He said she was watching videos or something with her iPhone, and after about 5 minutes or so, saw us standing there and says, "It'll be a bit longer. I have to get some kind of entertainment in between you people." That's what she said.
Ah, yeah, I heard that.
I would have left.
I wouldn't. Did he leave?
No, I would have left too.
Yeah, I mean, that really would have pissed me off so bad. I would say, "Fuck you, bitch."
I seriously would have. I would have said, "You can fucking go to hell. I'm not giving you shit," you know, and walked off.
Yeah.
Then we proceeded to stand there for another 5 to 7 minutes before she actually signed my poster.
I mean, I was pissed off enough. I was stupid enough to do it twice. But, if she had said something like that to me, I don't have any patience or any kind of thick skin for that. I would just kind of dislike.
Well, the thing is too, I remember seeing her at that show, and there was no wait for her. Nobody gave a fuck about her at that show. You know, that was the interesting thing.
Well,
so
I wonder how many people had, I mean, she went to the, then she went to the drive-in that Saturday night, I think. She was signing autographs at the drive-in. So they were showing Exorcist. Remember, that was the same night they were showing Madman.
She went to Fright Night. This is a couple years afterwards. She went to Fright Night again.
I didn't even see her.
Right. She was across from like the Revenge of the Nerds people or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think she was up at Days of the Dead, and I didn't even see her because she's probably one of these private rooms that,
yeah,
you know, that they have there. I got one.
Okay.
There's one that I forgot was one of the best, and you talk about coolest. Michael Sharp says Reggie Bannister is one of the cool cats, one of the coolest cats.
Yeah, Reggie.
He is. I mean, I was just kind of talking about his music. He had a CD there, and he wasn't pushing it or anything, man. He's just really mellow.
Yeah, he's a hippie.
Yeah, and I'm not going to insult him saying he's not an actor, but he really is Reggie.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's not really an act.
No, I mean, so that makes it even cooler that that's him. And then, you know, he's not really playing too far away from his real persona.
Crystal has pretty much the same story for Linda Blair. You know, they both met him together. But one of her favorites, and you were talking about Phantasm, is Michael Baldwin.
Yeah, he's a nice guy too.
Yeah,
he's a little. He had a few two Coronas, but he was nice. Right.
He was friendly and personal. Not only we talked to him for a half hour at his table, but he also stopped to speak with us a couple of different times later that day, just to see how we were enjoying the show, and made sure to hug me close enough to make James jealous. Well, that's always good.
Hey now.
So
here's
yeah.
one. Here's one from Ken Coakley. He goes, with the exception of Andrew Minarski, which I think everybody has heard stories about him. The convention celebs I've met have been pretty nice to me, including Tom Savini and Tom Atkins. So he's had some good interactions with those guys. I must caught them on a good day. Some of the nicest I've met include Charles Cypher from Halloween, William Forsythe, with whom I talked about Once Upon a Time in America. And the nicest had to be R.A. Meloff. I met three times at a horror theme park in Massachusetts called Spooky World in the last years. What?
Spook World, really?
Spooky World.
Okay.
And then last year's Rock and Shock. And each time he remembered me, so I've heard shit. Good things about him as well. Come on, dude. Get over it.
Oh, fuck.
You wish you want to go to Spooky World, you know it.
I will go to Spook World. Un-PC Steve, how dare you. Alf. That's his name, Alf. The cool thing, let's see, okay, hang on a second. He's got two different ones right here together. Not really a bad experience, but somewhat disappointed with Jamie Lee Curtis. First off, I went to Horror Hound on Sunday. The photo op was before the autograph, and that was pretty much a quick, JLC posing real quick and then on to the next. However, by the time I got to JLC to sign my item, it was obvious she was tired, frustrated, and ready to get the hell out of there. I asked her if she would sign my poster the way I wanted, and she didn't even look up at me or say hi or anything. Either way, I was happy to get my autograph and photo, but I would have liked to actually talk to her. Well, the Jamie Lee Curtis thing, she was talking to people pretty in-depth on Friday of the show. Or maybe it was she was only Saturday and Sunday, right? Steve?
Yes, sir.
What the fuck are you doing, buddy?
My butt hit the mute button.
Oh. But she was only there like on Saturday and Sunday, and I think it was Saturday, she was talking to people and taking a whole lot of time. So I don't really blame her for that, because there was a, she had to get through these people, you know. They've already purchased their autograph tickets. So I really wouldn't, I had a pretty good experience with her. I didn't think she was that bad.
She liked my poster, and I know Sean Clark and them were really liking my poster. It was a tie poster of a Blue Steel, a movie she was in. It's not like a very good movie, but it's an awesome poster of her. And then she was talking about Ron Silver's beard in it and stuff for a little bit. And then the funny thing was, we were all hanging outside, and then I looked over, I felt somebody squeeze my arm, and it was her. And I guess she was going to the bathroom.
Why did she squeeze your arm?
I don't know. It was cool, though. Actually, I can't remember. I think it was either on the way back or the way to the bathroom. I can't remember. But I was weird as hell. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Curse, grab my bicep.
She didn't really have any type of ego, I don't think, either, at the show. Because
no, I don't think
she,
so.
She signed pretty much nonstop. Because we talked to Sean Clark about this.
Yeah.
That whole Saturday until it was like 10 in the morning till like 8:30 or something at night. Two bathroom breaks and that photo op break. That was it. She signed the entire day. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, she was talking to people in depth and stuff, but, you know, I think someone told her that, you know, you you can't do that because we got so many people.
Yeah.
But I wish I was one of the first group of people to meet her. That way we'd had a little more time.
True.
My experience with her was fine, especially out of the, you know, she grabbed my arm. I thought that was just a bizarre kind of thing out of the blue.
Yeah, you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, she looked a hell of a lot great. Her body is pretty good in shape. At Activia, it works, I guess.
Yeah, keeps all the
poop out of.
Yeah, she shits it all out.
That's where it goes. Poop goes out.
Alf Alf also, though, he says, cool thing, Alf, though. A couple months later, I got PJ Souls to sign my poster, and she had seen where JLC had signed it and asked me about Whorehound and told me a couple stories and how they still keep in touch. Made up for the Whorehound experience.
That's another one that's really a good experience with PJ Souls.
Oh, yeah, she's really cool.
Me and Dana met her, and Dana got a picture, and then we just ended up getting a picture together. Really, really nice.
Yeah, I always liked her. I mean, we met her at the Scarefest, I don't know what year it was, probably 2008, 2009. And, yeah, I mean, she, gave me a hug and everything and signed my stuff for free just because I'm sort of a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's good.
David Shelby said, I had a long talk with Sid Haig about pottery making.
Potpourri?
Pottery making.
What the fuck is that?
I can't say the word. Pottery.
Poetry?
Pottery making.
Pottery.
Yeah, there we go.
I thought you were going to say poetry.
That's what I thought, but my eyes are a little messed up. But Sid Haig is a pretty good
guy,
too. Because I tell you the story, we was at Wasteland on a Friday afternoon before it opened, and he was in. I kept in to look over, and we were eating at the hotel restaurant, and he was over there eating. And one of the waiters came over and goes, "Everything all right, Captain?"
That's awesome.
I thought that was a smart ass waiter. But yeah, I mean, he's, as far as I know, he had a hell of a line at one of the Scarefests.
Yeah, he always does pretty good. I have him there almost every year. I don't think he's there this year, but
But yeah, he's definitely one of the. I mean, as far as I can tell, he I don't hear anybody say any bad experiences about him.
Michael Honsker actually has a question here. We are taking questions too. In your opinion, what is the best killer doll / living dummy movie? Not counting Chucky, Steve. Killer doll. You know, one that I'll say real quick that I kind of like is the Trilogy of Terror. At least that one segment.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one that is just a classic. It's a classic segment.
That is so fucking crazy because I rewatched it. I remember watching that as a kid, and I rewatched it last Halloween, and man, it is crazy. What about Pin, the plastic nightmare or something like that? The nightmare in plastic.
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember if it really is, if that thing comes to life or not, so I can't really. But that I guess I'll have to rewatch that. That was something I watched a lot back in the early 90s.
What about Dolly Dearest?
I've never seen any of that.
I think it's the same guy that designed Chucky, but they did like a female version of it.
I'm not a big. I mean, Chucky's okay, but I just. I'm not going to. I don't really care too much about it.
You know what I honestly think, though, we're talking about Chucky movies? I honestly think that. It's weird because I hadn't seen the movie in so long. I think Bride of Chucky is like really underrated, like in that series. Like it's actually like,
yeah, I think
that's
the
Chucky movie should kind of be. And they kind of overdid it with Seed of Chucky, but that style of movie I think works good.
Yeah, I definitely didn't. It was a complete different take of the first three films to me, and it kind of went a little bit crazy, and that made it more enjoyable for me to watch. I've taken dolls.
Yeah.
What about Puppet Master? Those are dolls, right? Are they puppets?
What about the Stuart Gordon movie Dolls?
I haven't seen that one either.
It's okay. I'm not really big into the killer doll puppet movies that much. I mean, I like, there's a really creepy, I was actually reading the story about the real Annabelle doll.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Now, yeah. Dude, I honestly think that they should have used that Raggedy Ann doll for the Annabelle doll in the movie.
Like, I think they didn't do it because she was telling, I listened to a podcast with that Lorraine Warren, and she was basically saying the more recognition you give to an object like that, the more power you give it. And, you know, so I think that they consciously made that change. One, because this doll looks a lot creepier than a Raggedy Ann doll. And then
I don't think so. I think you don't, no, man.
You don't think that doll, you think a regular Raggedy Ann doll.
I thought that more, particular doll that I saw in the photo, I thought that's creepy looking. I gotta say.
Oh, it's just a freaking plain Raggedy Ann doll. This one, that doll they were using actually had some kind of sinister looking face and stuff like that. But I mean, I think that they did it because of main reason was because it looks creepier than a regular Raggedy Ann doll. And then secondly, because of the trying to not give it too much recognition.
You know, the thing
is, it more power is what they say.
Here's what I was thinking though about that whole, like, the Annabelle story, right?
Yeah.
Who are these fucking people that they are claiming had, you know, had this doll? Like, where are they? Like, I don't know if I even believe that shit.
Well, first, why in the fuck are they acting like a damn Raggedy Ann doll's alive and talking to it like a fucking person?
Stabbing people and shit.
Well, I mean, I just don't understand why you would even, I mean, I guess if you're kids, but these people were fucking 20-something or...
Right, but what I'm saying is, though, where are the actual people? You know,
yeah,
the Amityville thing, there's people that have actually said, yeah, we were there. Where are these fucking people? I know they gave them names, but where the fuck are they? Like, I think, honestly, I mean, a lot of people may be shitting on me for saying this, but I think that the Warrens probably made up some of this shit.
I mean, there's a lot of people who think they made up a lot of this stuff.
I think they did.
But, you know, it's definitely interesting stuff. It is.
I like talking about stuff like that every once in a while.
That's the kind of stuff I really enjoy watching.
Yeah, it is. I enjoy The Conjuring quite a bit. I'm looking forward to the Blu-ray when that comes out so I can watch it again.
Yeah, Dana was reading up on the real family and stuff.
Yeah.
They got a lot more fucking kids than, I mean, they combined some kids characters in the movie because they got like two or three more.
Damn.
Okay, so, let's see here.
What else we got, Steve? Let's go. Let's continue on here. Try to hurry it up a little bit.
Jeremy Wolkenfuss. So many have been just tremendous. My best memories were Tom Atkins, George Romero, Danny Trejo, Jamie Lee Curtis, John Carpenter. I've heard terrible stories, but he was awesome both times I met him. Adrian Barbeau, Wes Craven, and on. I think I've been lucky. Craven? What?
Where did he meet Wes Craven at? I haven't seen him.
I don't know. He says Corey Feldman seemed rough, though. His line was massive, and it was moving very slowly. Advance word that he was taking frequent long breaks. I waited for about an hour because I had not moved an inch. I just gave up. On the way back up to my hotel room, the elevator stopped on the second floor, and in pops Feldman. No doubts he'd been to his room to take after taking another long break.
Let's see. John Grande. El Grande. Best was talking to Steve Dash back at Monster Mania a few weeks ago. We talked for over 20 minutes. We made a lot of fun of Warranted Gillette. It was awesome. Another one real quick. Matty, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. I got to meet Enzo Castellari, super nice guy, the guy in front of me. And my friend was giving him a history book on spaghetti westerns to sign. And he said, Franco Nero has my copy of this book. The bastard still hasn't returned it. Another quick one. I'll do another quick one and let you do a couple.
Yeah.
Charles Emmanuel Vuletta, he's French Canadian. At a small Montreal Comic Con, I met Roy Wayne Ferris, a.k.a. the Honky Tonk Man, without knowing he was there in the first place. He was very friendly, a true showman. At first, he was really soft-spoken and quiet, and then my friend joked, got sideburns to look just like him. The Honky Tonk Man jolted, getting in full Elvis impersonator mode with that my sideburns, I could easily double to get beaten in his name. Only, I don't know, man. He must not be able to speak English that well or something. Only so we could change for him to win the fight and stuff. And he had his Intercontinental Championship belt. That's cool. I didn't know he brought that with him.
He bought a...
Oh, maybe it's, a replica or something.
I don't know. I'm just saying that.
Probably it's a replica.
Was it Tony Botto? He said Savini and Bernard's are two Cincinnati of the biggest douchebags. Huh?
Well, go ahead.
I was just saying Tony Botto said Savini and Bernarski are the two big douchebags he's ever met.
Word to your mother.
I'm looking.
Can't find one.
I'm getting it. Here it goes. James Higgins.
Huggy Bear.
Yeah.
What?
My best has to be Don Costarelli. He's such a cool guy. He made a big deal out of my son being there and even played with him with the Phantasm Spear. My worst, hands down, was Jake Busey. He was rude and barely took the time to look up. I know it's my fault. I should have never got him to sign shit, but I like Frighteners.
Yeah, Jake Busey's... The only movie I really enjoyed Jake Busey in was, I think it was called Tomcats. It was like a comedy.
Yeah.
His character was pretty funny in it. But he
was decent in Starship Troopers, but he was in one of the most travesty, one of the most cinematic travesties of all time. He was in the sequel to Roadhouse called Roadhouse 2. The Last Call or something.
What? Without, I didn't know they made a Roadhouse sequel.
Yeah. And then,
why can't they leave these fucking movies alone?
Well, this is when fucking Swayze was alive.
Really?
And it was horrible, dude. They had some guy.
Was he sick at the time or was he just not doing anything or what? Why didn't they get him back?
Obviously because they didn't have enough money. This was kind of like a low budget deal. Oh. But they actually released this shit with like a double feature with the original. And I was like, if you watch the original and watch this, you can like fucking toss that disc out for just, it just being existent. This guy, the main dude in there, it takes like a half an hour or more before you find out he's supposed to be Dalton's son. It's just a piece of shit. It really is insulting. It's not fun at all.
It sounds like it really pissed you off.
Oh, I mean, I'm just thinking about it now and I get pissed off. I mean, I threw that shit away. Really? I didn't even want it in my house. It offended me. I cast it out.
We have another question here from Ronnie Kenner, who wants to know.
Hey, Ronnie Kenner.
He says, you guys got me back into the Phantasm movies. I was wondering what your favorite sequel is to the franchise. Well, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess, of course, part two is going to be my favorite because I actually saw that in the theater when it first came out. But part four has got a lot of stuff going on with that old footage that wasn't used in the original.
I really like part four. A lot of people shit on part four, but
I like part four better than I do part three.
I do too. I definitely and do.
Even though the budget wasn't there, just the inclusion of the old footage, the unused footage, was just amazing to see, you know, whatever, 15 plus years later.
Yeah, and oddly enough, it kind of it was almost like it kind of fit together with what they were doing. I'm guessing they probably wrote the wrote the movie around the footage, right?
Right.
And this is the kind of thing I would love. This is why I would love to have Coscarelli on the show because I would love to hear this stuff, you know. Because the original Phantasm was like originally like what 3 hours long or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you watch some of that, and you could. I mean, they had a. They killed it. They strung him up. You know, that they used that in part four, I think, where they'd strung up the tall man or something. I don't remember. But, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there that they went back and used. I mean, really, they tied that series up with the best way they could.
I think so
it
too.
Ended perfectly. If there is a new movie, that would be, depending on, I don't know.
I don't think they should ever do it. I don't think they should do another movie.
Definitely I don't either. Not. I don't either. I think it ended it up perfectly, and I wouldn't want to see them try to do anything now.
Yeah, because what I always thought, and this is a little spoiler, the end of Phantasm 4 makes it seem like the entire movie was a dream.
Yeah,
the entire series. The entire series was just a dream, and they're riding Reggie's truck back in 1978 or whatever it was, you know. And I think it's awesome because the series, of course, is called Phantasm, which means dream. So,
wasn't it Dreams of a Deranged Mind or whatever that says?
But I agree with you, Steve. Though I think that the third one is by far the weakest because it doesn't fit with the rest of the movies, I didn't think. And I thought Phantasm 4 was more like a direct sequel to the original Phantasm.
Yeah, you had like the two action movies, which Part 2 was the superior one. Part 3 was almost like, I don't know, it just seemed like it was a product of the time.
Yeah.
There were a lot of kind of movies that seemed like that. But, I mean, of course, it was better than a lot of those, but still, I just didn't really dig it as much as I did the other three.
Yeah, and I think that Reggie did a good job in those movies too. It's kind of like the lead in, I guess, 3 and 4. But I love the Phantasm movies, and I think it's a shame that the original's still not out on Blu-ray. I mean, you got they're releasing a fucking Blu-ray of Night Train to Terror, and we don't have Phantasm out on Blu-ray. I mean, what's going on?
Hey. Everybody's got something to do.
Everybody but you.
I'm getting it.
I know you fucking get every damn little piece of shit that comes out, Steve.
Night Train to Terror is not a piece of shit.
I'm hanging on to my Prism VHS copy, and that's good enough for me.
I got a poster of that. You got your Night Train to Terror poster?
No.
I bought it for $10. I think it's gone up for some reason.
I don't know why. That movie is absolutely horrible, dude. Like, seriously. Like,
come on.
It is. I never have any intentions on ever rewatching that movie.
Fuck yeah, I'm watching it.
There's parts of it that's enjoyable, like the cut scenes where the band's playing and stuff, but.
Well, they're going to have, like, some of the extended stuff on there from one of those aborted movies.
I'm going to try to get maybe a copy of it to review. I will watch it if I can get that, but
maybe you should get two copies to review.
No, I'll just get me a copy. What else you got? You want me to read another one, Steve?
Oh, how about Mark Keith Allen?
Okay.
Is that one guy from way back in the day? MK Allen?
Yeah. Same guy. He's lightened up a little bit though.
Yeah. My worst celebrity experience is a tie between Tom Savini and Linda Blair. I've seen Savini at every convention. And he hasn't even been different than any of them. He doesn't talk much. He made it hard to talk to him. I saw him at breakfast where he had two bowls of bacon. One bowl he was eating from, and the other he placed pieces that he was tearing in and not eating.
What? What the fuck? Who notices that shit?
I saw him at breakfast, and he was standing next to me at the breakfast bar, and I said good morning. He just grunted, and that was about it. I did notice a definite change in his demeanor when a pretty girl approached him. He was looking forward to meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking forward to meeting Linda Blair more than any other celeb at a convention. There was a long line, and she was late. When she finally arrived, she was sullen looking. She sighed a lot and didn't look happy. Maybe she was not feeling well. She charged $25 for an autograph, $25 for a picture with her. I chose only to get the autograph. I should have chosen to get the picture. When I got to her, I thought she'd soften up by talking to her about her dogs.
Lord God, but did he write a novel?
Yeah. I'm getting to the punchline. All she said in a very audible voice was, "We really could use the help." Not once did she look up and smile, make eye contact. I often wonder if she should get more protein in her diet.
Probably. That might help a little bit.
She looks like she's been dried up. She needs to rehydrate.
Another good one here, because I know we're running kind of short on time. You got to go here in a minute.
I got a few minutes, so go for it.
Well, somebody wanted to know real quick, when will I watch Sharknado? I'll probably never watch it, I want to be honest. That's not my – I don't really
– I'll be honest with you. I think that that's just gotten way too overrated. It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not even good by sci-fi. The name is the only thing that's good. It's not good as even a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, I don't normally like stuff like that, though, anyway. So
I mean, I watched the one with Debbie Gibson and Tiffany. That makes this look – I mean, that makes this – that one was good, halfway decent. Makes Sharknado look like dog crap. So I would watch that one before I'd watch Sharknado again.
I got an interesting one here. I definitely wanted to read from Mandy, who big Halloween fan.
Oh, Mandy, you came and you gave without taking.
Oh, hush. Jeffrey Landman. And if anybody doesn't know who the fuck Jeffrey Landman is, and I had to look this up because I knew the name sounded familiar. He was the little stuttering motherfucker in Halloween 5, the little kid.
Oh.
Okay. He had a big old sign. He had a big old sign at his table written in bold black magic marker, $40.
Yeah.
She says, I mean, really? Very little were down to pay that, especially that achieve actors that were kind and said $10. On the last day of the convention, some douchey sign up. Again, no one was interested. So he lowered his price, I guess, to $10. But still nobody gave a fuck because, let's be honest, Halloween 5 sucks. That movie's fucking horrible.
Yeah, it is.
And that character was horrible. Like, I hated that little kid. Even when I was a little kid when I was watching it, I was like, I'd like to punch that little motherfucker. He's annoying, you know?
I want to bully him, is what you were thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. So she said, he looked pathetic and looked like a prick, and all he ever did was dance around in his pirate costume and stutter Halloween 5. So, there you go.
Here's one last one, or near the Ryan Michael. My best convention experience was meeting Ian McCullen at Chiller 09 as part of the Italian Invasion. Ian was incredibly friendly, enjoyed talking about his movies, even though he forgot his character's name in Zombie. And he remembered my daughter's name an hour after we met him. We walked by his table again. Yeah, he was pretty nice when I met all those guys were pretty good. I mean, Richard Johnson, he's like 80. And, yep. he was real nice. They were actually talking in a panel about him. He actually was in the running for James Bond, for the first one, for
really?
Dr. No.
I didn't know that.
So that's kind of cool. But, Ian McCullen was nice. Almost all the Italian people I've met that have come over have been really cool. I mean, Christina Lindbergh is very nice and very very in shape for a, you know, older lady.
Yeah, I actually haven't got to meet her, but I've heard nothing but good things, you know.
Well, she filmed a movie, which I posted a little bit on it. She filmed some movie called Cry for Vengeance that filmed in London and Jeffersonville, Indiana. So I don't know how those two locations tie together, but she was like on our morning news here in Louisville, just kind of promoting that a little bit. So hopefully that she'll come back for the premiere of that movie. And maybe they'll have it at Baxter or something. And
that's cool.
We'll see.
Last one here, and then we'll get off here. I know we've been talking about these for over an hour. MacReady Mike, who we just talked to a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
His best experience, he went to a Friday the 13th convention in Hollywood in 2005, and only about 10 to 15 fans were there at any given time, so it was dead. And that was great because you could spend a lot of time talking with the Friday stars. I talked to Amy Steele, Betsy Palmer, Larry Zerner, David Kadams, Stu Charno, Adrian King, Russell Todd, Oh God by God, Tom Savini, Lar Park Lincoln, John Carl Beekler, John Fury, and Ari Lehman. So that was quite a crowd. The best part is most of the stars charged $0 for their autograph. Worst is I asked David Hess from Last House on the Left to sign my Last House on the Left DVD. So he took it, signed it, and passed it on to the two other actors in the movie, and then they signed it. And then David handed it back to me and said, $60. I'd be like, no, I just wanted your autograph, so I'll pay $20.
I mean, rock it off.
Yeah. He's going to mark out the autograph. No.
Yeah, no.
He said, that sucked. It was a package deal, but I didn't know, so I was not prepared to pay $60. But back in that day is when $20 for an autograph was high, which was just, what, probably about 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's like gas.
Yeah, that's not fucking cheap now. It's like $20. Oh, hell yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah.
There's one more about the worst experience. Somebody named Billy Bob, he says that Sneaky Pete's was pretty bad.
Sneaky Pete's was pretty bad. So I guess that's it. You know, that's kind of the show for you guys this week because we are doing these conventions. And odds are, unless something changes, something comes up, we will not have a Dead Pit show for the next 2 weekends. So if Steve and Dana want to do something, we might put that up there. But as the plan goes now, we'll be gone both weekends. So there will not be a Dead Pit show until probably the second. Well, shit, what would be the next one? Let me look it up here.
It'd be like the 20th something.
Not until
25th?
It'd be the 20th. That would be the next Dead Pit show. So it happens sometimes with these conventions. So you guys, we will, you know, do videos and stuff at the show and maybe do some video updates and stuff live and all that. But, hope to see some of you guys there. We actually have a Dead Pit panel at Scarefest on Friday night. I think it's from 8 to 9:30 on Friday. So I don't know what we're doing for that yet, but, we will keep you guys posted.
I'll be Skyping in.
No, we're going to make Steve's going to be there.
Okay? No, he ain't.
Yeah, he is. We're going to figure it out.
I'll be there exclusively on Saturday.
No.
Selling my old DVDs.
If you want to get your pass, Steve, you've got to do a little bit of work, buddy. You can't just
I am doing my work.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. So anyway, that's it for this week. Until next time, which I guess is going to be on September the 20th, which will be in fucking, that's like, you know, prime Dead Pit time of the year, September and October. So
yeah, it'd be when you gotta turn your air conditioner off by then.
I don't know. I like it cool.
I like it cold.
Me too. I always like, you know, here's a little inside the bedroom of the Creepy Kentuckian.
Which, oh, no. Know I've been there. It's scary.
I know a lot of ladies and probably anxious to hear this.
It's scary.
Keep it cold pretty much year-round in there. It's like an igloo.
He's got a bunch of his championship belts hanging around.
I do, so you can see who the champ is.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The champ is her.
Hey, Crater won them better than you did. He actually won a raffle.
I won mine too, but I fought for every damn one of them.
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, we'll see you guys.
eBay.
We'll see you guys. I did. I won them on eBay.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys on September the 20th. We'll raise some Hell Lord on that date. And I guess I'll see you next week, Steve, at Horror Hound Weekend, next weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right. Until then, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm the B to the plan.
You've been listening to number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated, Ballers and Shot Callers of Horror Talk Radio. It's Dead Pit.
Dude's coon. Boo boo.
Woo.
Seems like yesterday. It was long ago. Jenny was lovely, she was the queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low, and the secrets that we shared, the mountains that we moved, caught like a wildfire out of control, till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove. Against the wind.